At a town hall meeting in Asheville earlier this month, I sat down with North Carolina State Senator Terry Van Dyne to discuss a range of issues currently under debate in the General Assembly. Part one of our interview focused on legislation that would have an impact on at-risk youth and children across the state. We continue our discussion now in part two as Senator Van Dyne talks about additional challenges in legislation that she's currently working on in this session. I started by asking her why holding town hall meetings was important.
Well, you know, for me, a town hall is about what folks want to ask me about. So I don't really have an agenda other than I just got through the floor debate on the budget for the year. And I think it's unfortunate that the Senate did not adopt some of the great ideas that Governor Cooper put in his budget. And I'd like to compare and contrast those two things for folks that come, if that's what they want to hear about. But obviously, it's what they want to hear about. That's what a town hall is all about. So it gives folks an opportunity to maybe take issue with some of the votes I've taken, or maybe encourage me to support issues that we haven't voted on yet. It's been a very weird session. We haven't taken up a lot of legislation. There was a big flurry of bills a couple weeks ago when we did what they call crossover. And but the first 3 months of session were very slow moving. So there's a lot of work that we could still do. Remains to be seen what we're gonna do. But the budget is our massive piece of legislation. There's some interesting things in that budget that you wouldn't think would be in a budget. One is there's a three-year moratorium on wind power. I think that's the kind of legislation that should be taken up as a separate bill so that we can get interested parties to come to the legislature to testify. We can find out what wind advocates as well as wind opponents, give them an opportunity to make their case rather than kind of slip it into the budget and get it passed without maybe talking about it a whole lot. I think North Carolina sits right on the Atlantic Ocean. We've got a lot of coastline. And so global warming, sea level rise, these are big issues for us. We're still recovering from our latest hurricane. And I can remember the hurricane before that. I mean, these really dramatic weather events are happening more and more frequently. I think we need to be cognizant of climate change. And wind power is like a boom for Eastern North Carolina. Some of our deepest pockets of poverty are in the farm communities in Eastern North Carolina. And what these farmers are able to do, they're able to lease some land. The lessor puts up the windmills, and then they get income from the wind industry, but they can still farm their land. So they're preserving their culture as well, which is very important. And these communities, these counties, are in some cases doubling their tax base because the wind industry then pays property taxes. So Senator Brown, who's the big opponent of wind energy, believes this threatens the military bases that we have in North Carolina. And he is absolutely right that the military is a very, very important part, not only of national security, but of the North Carolina economy. So I definitely appreciate where he is coming from. However, the military is not asking for this kind of protection. And a three-year moratorium feels like a very long time to keep an industry from growing at a time when we really need to be looking into, I mean, alternative ways of producing energy. And the military is a huge user of energy. they need renewable sources of energy as well. So I think we should be looking at this as, how do we make this a win-win? Rather, is it going to be one industry or another? And by doing it in the budget, that doesn't give us an opportunity to listen to people who know a lot more than I do about these issues, and maybe come up with some creative solutions to protecting land rights in Eastern North Carolina, but protecting the military as an important part of North Carolina's economy.
So once some policy like this gets into that budget and the Senate passed their budget proposal, and I assume then the House, and there's this reconciliation process, is that generally what happens? So something like that can come back out?
It can. You know, the House could take it out. But if they leave it in, then it becomes law, just as if we had taken up a law, debated it, gone to committee, called hearings. But this is kind of a fast
track. Basically up or down on the budget once everything gets reconciled.
That's right.
And if it does, if the House during this reconciliation, if it is pulled back out, can it then be debated as a separate piece of legislation this year, or would it?
Well, I believe so. I mean, there are some rules about what happens to bills that don't make crossover. But my guess is, because it was in the budget, and I'm a little bit on thin ice, that we could bring this up again. We certainly can bring it up.
Next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, great. So one other quick question about the Asheville redistricting proposal. Where does that stand right now?
Well, it has passed the Senate strictly on partisan lines. And I thank my Democratic colleagues for standing with me. And now it's over in the House, and I know the Esther Mannheimer, the mayor, Mayor Mannheimer, excuse me, has been working with her delegation. They're trying to demonstrate that they get what Senator Edwards is saying, that there are some folks that don't feel that they're adequately represented. But I think she also wants to consider how all of Asheville thinks about this and give them some options and do it the way the citizens of Asheville want it to be done. And I am hoping that in the House, they will just slow down a little bit. The city has already started its process. Let the city finish its process. If they are successful, and it is absolutely possible that they will, because of the will of the voters of Asheville, come up with the same thing that Senator Edwards wants them to do. That's absolutely possible. But if it comes from the voters of Asheville, as opposed to coming from the General Assembly, then it's our system. It's how we decided to elect our representatives in City Council. And I think that encourages people to get interested. It encourages people to run. It encourages people to get out and vote because they feel part of the process. So I am hopeful that the House will take that all into consideration and recognize Senator Edwards' legitimate reasons for doing this, but let the city move forward at their pace and get it done. It will be done. I don't know exactly how, but it will be done by the 2019 elections. Just let us do it our way.
Great. Well, I won't keep you anymore. I know you've got to go upstairs to the town hall. Thank you so much for talking to me today.
Well, thank you for being here. I hope we get an opportunity to do it again soon.